Vive, the number 2, thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. EnterHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnterFood, coconut milk powder, liver cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail. A preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting EnterHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the EnterHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enterfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F like Frank, O-O-D like dog.com. Enterfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnterHealth offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, July 12th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And here we are, traveling on our spaceship, the planet Earth, the big blue marble that our Creator hung on nothing. And in this season, great changes are upon us. Changes in the weather, changes in the economy, changes in government. We're heading toward very perilous times, my friends. We're heading toward perilous days that tell us that the earth is groaning and travailing. And one story that is starting to gather interest is the topic of Elenin. And today, I'm going to visit this topic. For those of you that are regular listeners, last week, I talked about Comet Elenin, and I want to say thank you to all of you that emailed me your findings and the information that you have been gathering. My friends, I ask you to continue doing that because I need all the help I can get to solving and looking at this mystery. The one thing that I'm noticing about Elenin is as the information arrives and as we look and try to do research, it seems to require a filter as we look at the information. Why? Well, it seems that some of the information seems to be legitimate, but then some of it seems to be disinformation. And as I examine Elenin, I have to say if this thing is legitimate, this story could be the biggest, most massive story in modern day history. And today, to help me talk about these things is my brother and friend, Augusto Perez of the Appearance Ministries. Augusto, are you there?
I'm here, Nathan.
Augusto, welcome to the program. Now, can you share with the listeners the name of your website before we get started?
Sure. Our website is theappearance.com, www.theappearance.com. That's where we have all our info and newsletters and so forth.
Theappearance.com. Now, Augusto, for the listeners that might not be familiar with your ministry, can you just share just real briefly?
Well, sure, Nathan. We pastored a church down in Miami, Florida many years ago in 1985 through 1992. The Lord had us doing that. And in 1992, that He called me out of that ministry. We turned the church over to another pastor, and we were obedient to the heavenly call. And the Lord showed me He had ministry that He was going to bring me into that ministry that I did in Miami, Florida. I was done there. So I turned the church over to another man. I obeyed the Lord. We left with my wife, my little girl, myself to North Florida. I traveled all over finding the place, and this is where the Lord brought us, close to the Georgia border. And we've been here since 92. At that time, I spent probably a few years. The Lord just was clearing all the stuff that I had collected over the years, the religious leaven. He had to purge me out of all that stuff, and He had to peel me like an onion. And slowly I began to hear the voice of the Lord more clearly, began to see the scriptures, the revelation more clearly. And one of the things that he told me was that I was going to have to be purged of all man-made doctrines and traditions. And he was going to begin to show and reveal to me the scriptures through the eye of the Spirit. And so he told me, you have to put everything you learn on, you know, on the shelf and let me teach you, let the Holy Spirit teach you. And so that's what I did, and I kept going out, you know, ministering, but it was a walk of faith. And this last several years, the Lord has begun really revealing more and more of the end time scenario, visions and dreams and prophecies of that sort, of all these things that are coming upon the earth.
Praise God. You know, Augusto, as I was listening to your testimony, it seems that God has been raising up many, many voices in these last days, but the one thing I'm noticing with all of these people that God is raising up is that each and every one of them are being poured out and purged first. And that seems to be the required recipe that I keep hearing over and over, because I myself went through a time of purging, and that's an old story, and I've shared that on other programs. But, you know, I really don't believe that God can use someone that's comfortable. God has to just strip them of everything until they can hear his voice.
Every time we're reading the scriptures in the Bible, every man that God has used, he has really put him through a season in the wilderness. We see that in the life of Abraham, the life of Moses. We see that in the life of the Apostle Paul, you know, and we see that in the life of every man of God that God really uses. And he cannot truly use a vessel until he has prepared that vessel, because the vessel that he uses has to be cleansed, has to be purged. It has to be pliable in his hands, and he has to be able to hear his voice. And to seek things clearly. God cannot use people with religious spirits. Cannot use people that have strongholds in their life and sin, and you know that they want to play church. God cannot use someone like that. The more God uses an individual, the higher the level of requirement that he asks of them. We see in the life of Abraham, he eventually required that he give his own son, and he went by levels. First, he asked them, to leave the land where he lived in. And then he kept asking him, the Lord tests us and he asks us things from our lives. I want you to give up this. I want you to give up this other thing. And it depends on what we respond to the things that the Lord requires of us, whether we continue to grow, we continue to be taken to a higher level in him, or we just remain in the outer court. So God wants us to go into all the way into the holiest of holies. But unfortunately, Nathan, most Christians today find themselves in the outer court. They are not where they're supposed to be in God. That is the big problem. That is the urgency of the hour, that the Lord is screaming from heaven. The heavens are groaning right now, trying to get his people to come into alignment, to really listen to him, to really prepare themselves, because his coming is right at the doors, and the people are still, they have no clue. Just like the first time we were talking before the program, you and I, about that, exactly what happened the first time that Jesus came. The people were not ready. The Pharisees, the religious people of that day, were not ready. So when he came, he really took people that just had eyes to see and ears to hear, shepherd, simple shepherd boys that saw the signs and responded, wise men from the east that God showed them a sign and responded, because the ones that were supposed to be the most knowledgeable had no clue.
You know, Augusto, I've also shared that message. It sounds like I'm listening to myself, but you know, what it is the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and we're all part of the same body, so we hear the same voice, and I'm very pleased to hear you say the same things that are part of my heartbeat. You know, being a voice of God is a lonely journey, and it's not self-serving, and it can't be ambitious, and it can't have an agenda. Our agenda, Augusto, is just to cry out the message that burns in our bones, that Jesus is coming and the people need to repent and be ready.
That's right. And it's getting very close now, and people just don't see it. They just don't understand it, and the urgency of the hour is really intensifying, and it's all around us. People don't want to see it. It's because they're blind, sensitive to these things, but they're screaming at us right now. I was reading in the news today, there were like four volcanoes erupting today all over the earth, including the big one in Katla in Iceland. And so these things, you know, people say, those things have always happened. No, wrong. Volcanoes have always erupted, but not in the number and in the frequency that is happening now. Same with earthquakes, same with the disasters, same with anomalies in the weather. You know, I have been traveling, Nathan, for 30 years in the ministry, and I have never encountered what I have encountered this last 3 weeks. I went to two different places in the last 3 weeks. I went to Tennessee, and I also took a trip to Oklahoma. And in those two trips, I encountered the most severe hailstorm I have ever seen in my life. I mean, it was almost going to break my windshield. I had to cry out to the Lord to stop it because it was going to really destroy my car. It was coming down furiously, and the ice was accumulating right on my windshield. I mean, it was the most, came out of nowhere. And the Bible talks about that. The hailstorms that are going to hit the planet Earth are so big, bigger than grapefruits. They're going to be huge ones. And, you know, these things are, I have never seen it. Many people that are listening to this program today, they may say, well, I've seen hailstorms before, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I had never seen them. And I have been traveling for 30 years. And I encountered two of them, really, really bad ones, in the last 3 weeks. That I have never seen.
We are experiencing such perilous weather, Augusto, and I believe most people are not putting all of the pieces together. But when we look individually at all of them, and if we were to write them all on one page, we have the Midwest flooding. We have the drought in the South. Texas, I believe it's 96% of Texas is in some form of measurable drought. We have scorching heat in the South. We have dust storms in Arizona. And, you know, Augusto, a year ago, I don't remember the exact date, but I believe God also showed this to you. I had a prophetic dream of black tornadoes coming over the land and black darkness coming over the land. And when I had this dream, I was terrified. But what it actually meant was these dark storms are going to be coming in addition to black evil. Didn't God give you a vision of darkness also?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he did. He gave me I think I called it the darkness coming. And that was in the February 25th of last year. Actually, it was a visitation the Lord sent two messengers. I believe one of them was probably a messenger angel, and the other one was looked like the warrior angel, because one did all the talking. And he came up to me with a very sober countenance, and he said to me three times, well, the first time he says, there's great deep darkness coming upon the earth. He told that to me three times. Make sure I got it. Make sure I didn't forget it. And then he remained silent for a few moments, and then he started speaking again and said, there's a lot of activity going on in heaven right this time. And so right after he said that, he did not specify what the darkness was. He did not specify what the activity in heaven was. And right after that happened, I woke up in my bed, and I was startled. You know, I wrote this thing down, and I began to pray to the Lord about this. And I believe that this darkness is twofold, Nathan. I think it's part of that darkness is going to be spiritual darkness that is going to engulf the whole earth. And also there's going to be a physical darkness also that is going to hit us, is going to impact us. And we can talk about that also.
Yes, we will in a little bit.
We are entering that right now. And at the end of the year, that same year, 2010, I actually saw it. I was standing out the window looking outside, and it was daylight, beautiful daylight. Sun was shining. The sky was clear. The birds were singing, and slowly, suddenly, I began to notice that everything began to get dark, darker and darker, until everything was pitch black. But first, I thought it might have been a solar eclipse, but I realized that could not be a solar eclipse because there were no stars shining at all. I couldn't see the stars. I couldn't see the lights of homes outside. I couldn't see anything. It was like suddenly everybody, they turned the lights off, and like a big cloak of darkness came over everything. And I woke up from that. And I believe that we are entering that season right now of spiritual darkness and physical darkness, that we will experience physical darkness. And many people are not prepared. They're going to be terrified.
Now, Augusto, the Bible tells us that there's going to be signs in the heavens, in the sun, moon, and the stars. It says that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear when they see what's coming on the earth. And that means that people are going to look into the sky and see something that's going to be so terrifying and shocking that they're going to have heart attacks. So let's now talk about Ellen. And over the past few months, I've been hearing the story gain notoriety and gain interest with a lot of people. And as I said earlier, I do know that we have to filter through that information. And I want to be real careful the way that I present this, because I don't want to say things with absolute, because I don't really have all the details yet. I'm trying to learn and find out. So that's where I am at the moment. God hasn't confirmed every detail of this thing, but that's why I'm asking you to come on the program, because I know that you have been doing research and God has been showing you things. So start out and share with the audience what you have found out, what Ellen is, and then we'll go from there on how it could affect us and the other travelers that might possibly be with Ellen. So what is Ellen?
Okay, Ellen, I believe, Nathan, is, first of all, Ellen is not the brown dwarf. That is not that small sun, which many people have referred to as the twin brother of our sun, that comes around every 3,600 years. It's been referred to as the destroyer. Some people call it Nibiru. Some people call it the dragon, the red dragon. I have come to understand that Ellen is not as big as that brown dwarf. I have a friend of mine in Texas. Together, we have done a lot of research. He's an amateur astronomer. He has a telescope. It's not very big. It's not one of the most expensive ones. And he has a software that he uses that gives him access to the NASA database and the government database, which, you know, we have used to confirm a lot of things. And we have confirmed that, indeed, Ellen is an object. It is dangerous because it is about three times the size of Earth. And it's going to get close to Earth, but Ellen is not the brown dwarf. Ellen is not the second sun. And so people, you know, have been asking questions, is it this, is it that? It's not that. But it is an object, and it is going to cause serious problems.
Okay, Augusto, quick question. From what you have gathered, because I, as I said, we have to filter through some of the NASA information. They're claiming it's only 4 kilometers across.
Right. Well, that is what they claim. And I know that is what the discoverer, Leonid Ellen, that's what he has stated. However, people that have had the opportunity to look at it through their software and astronomy telescope haven't been able to measure it, you know, by measuring the arc of it. And so they have measured it, and that is what they have said. So based on that, and only on that, again, like you said very, very clearly, you know, all these things are just pieces of information. We don't, nobody has all the truth, and those that do are not talking. So the only things that we can go by, Nathan, are like breadcrumbs. We have to follow the breadcrumbs, and we have to connect the dots, and we have to find out what this one found out and what this one is saying, what this other one discovered. So that is all that we have. So people have to understand that and realize that some of the information that they're going to hear, like in this program and others, they have to take it and they have to connect the dots, because nobody's going to be able to say this is the way it is and we have confirmed it. The government's not going to say that for obvious reasons. However, one thing that we can do is we can look at what is happening. I have learned not to listen to what people say, but to watch what they do. Now, one of the things I am watching very closely is what the government is doing. For example, one of the things that this government has done recently is they shut down the space program for really no reason. They gave no reason whatsoever. They shut it down. We just saw the last space shuttle go up this last Friday. And they have interviewed John Glenn on the TV, and he's not happy. And many people in Cape Canaveral, that they're not happy. The business is gone. So everybody's wondering, why has the government done this? And so there are no answers. So when there are no answers, we can only speculate. Why would the government suddenly shut down the space program? And they're talking about that it's going to be shut down for a few years. They have given no reason. They have not given any explanation what the next program is going to be. All they said is, we're done with that program and we're just going to something else, but nothing.
You know, Augusto, there's also a website where aficionados that like to study astronomy can go and discuss things. They shut the NASA Buzz Room. They shut that down as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah. President Obama has shut down the satellite that had the best telescope to watch all these incoming objects. He shut it down. the observatories. He shut it down. He shut down anybody reporting NEAs, near-Earth objects. He shut it down. And so all these things speaks volumes to me.
I believe there's some areas of Google Sky have been blacked out also.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, there are some people that have been able to photograph this thing, and there are some photos out there. Of course, they go up, and then they come down just as quick. And what they have found out is that Elenine is not the brown dwarf. It is just an object. And it will cause some problems, but the real deal is coming right behind it. And that is a carbon star or a neutron star. And it is huge. And my friend and I, we think we found it because we were kicking around some names, and one of the names that we kicked around was Nemesis, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the name of the star that I told a friend of mine to start looking at.
When you were typing in names, did you try the name Nibiru? Did that one work?
If you plug that in, you're not going to find anything. It won't pull up anything in any software.
But Nemesis does bring up something?
Absolutely. And that's what really, that was a red flag for all of us, because we tried Nibiru, we tried many names, Wormwood, nothing, he would not pull up anything. But when he plugged in Nemesis, he did pull up something. And when he saw it, he said, man, I had to call you right back because it pulled up something. And this thing is huge. It's massive.
Okay, now, Augusto, before we start talking a lot about Nemesis, Elenin, based on some of the information that I'm reading, is going to do some lineups with itself and the Earth and the Sun and maybe other planets in the coming months. Have you investigated that?
Right.
And we're going to be seeing some Earth changes, I understand, and activity, seismic activity when that happens. Have you also run across that?
Yes, I have. What I found out was that around September, like 26, somewhere around there, Elenin is going to come right between planet Earth and the Sun in perfect alignment. They're going to be in perfect alignment. And it's only going to be 0.396 AU away from the Earth, which is very close for a planet. Not for a comet. If it's a comet, if it's only a comet, it's not going to do anything. But if this is not a comet, and it is what some people are saying it is, and I cannot say either way, because I am not in the position to say I don't have the telescope with infrared lenses. So if it is a comet, there's nothing to worry about. But if it is not a comet, if it is an object, like many people are alleging it is, it will do some harm. And I believe there's going to be earthquakes. If it is an object, three times the size of the Earth, there's going to be earthquakes bigger than or the same as the Japan one. And it could probably be the trigger to the New Madrid or the California earthquake or even the one in Wyoming, the Yellowstone caldera. So nobody knows. It could. Maybe it won't. I pray it won't. If it keeps going, and it will keep going, and it will cross the orbit of the Earth around October 17 or so, and the Earth will be crossing its tail, because it does have a large debris tail. Around the beginning of November, November 3rd, November 4th, November 6th, it will cross its tail. So even if it does not have any large debris, even if it's small debris, we're going to be bombarded by a lot of debris.
Mm-hmm. We are.
So at least we're going to be impacted with a lot of debris, a lot of meteors crashing in the Earth. That's the best case scenario.
Right.
Worst case scenario could be we get hit by something bigger.
And that's just, what, 2 months away?
Yeah, it's just 2 months away. And, you know, the thing is that it could appear in the heavens. And I believe this is what the powers that be are concerned about. That when it does appear, the people are going to panic. And that may be the time that they will shut down everything. You know, this is something that they cannot stop. No government on the face of the Earth, not just the government in America, but no government wants the people to believe that there's something happening that they have no control over. And they will have no control over this. None.
Augusto, NASA recently produced some commercials for their employees, warning them what to do with Earth changes.
Yep.
Why did they do that?
Exactly. Why would they do that if there's nothing to worry about? And, you know, all these weird commercials are coming out, you know, by the government and to prepare people, which is good, you know, but there's one specific one where the people lose gravity.
They start floating. I saw that one.
Yeah, they're floating in the air, and then when the guy lands on his feet, And then his wife lands on her feet. He grabs his bag and, you know, runs out the door. And then the commercial says, you know, you got to be ready. But why would they put a couple floating in the air? I mean, what kind of stuff is that? That's a sci-fi stuff.
Right. Augusto, last week I did a program that introduced Elenin in some of my research, and since then I've been getting a lot of emails from individuals helping me out, as I stated earlier. And it turns out, now, whether or not Elenin had an effect on this, I don't know, but it turns out that some professors and individuals have gone to the JPL website, the Jet Propulsion Lab's website, where you can go backwards in time and see whenever there was a lineup with Elenin and the Earth. And there was three major ones with the Chilean earthquake and influenced that, the March 11th one with Japan, and then the Christchurch, New Zealand one. But actually, there's 20 others that Elenin was lined up with the Earth, and we had earthquakes. Now, whether Elenin did that or not, I don't know, but that's interesting. And when we look at that, it sure points that it's influencing the seismic activity on Earth. And if that's the case, that's why I'm concerned, Augusto, because when we look into the future, we do see that there's going to be some lineups with Elenin coming up. And if that does happen, how bad will the earthquakes be? Are we talking the New Madrid could go or California?
We're talking, Nathan, of cataclysmic earthquakes like the Bible talks about. Every mountain and island moved out of their places. That's what we're talking about. This thing could be the fulfillment, but I believe personally it is going to be the fulfillment of Revelation 6 and the trumpets and all that stuff.
The great earthquake.
Yeah. He says there was a great earthquake like never before, like it has never been. And every island and every mountain was moved out of their places. Well, the only thing that can do that is maybe an impact or a pole shift.
Augusto, also, last week I shared that we would be in the tail on the date of September 28th, 2011. And I have a correction to make. It does point that, because you brought it up also, Elenin will be between us and the sun from the 26th of September through the 28th. And the tail will be pointed toward us, but it's going to be 20 million miles away. Now, if the tail is not longer than 20 million miles, then we will not be in the tail. So I do want to say that as a correction. However, from the 26th through the 28th, if Elenin is between us and the sun, and if its mass is larger than what people are wondering about, or if it does turn out to be as what we're concerned about, some people have pointed out to me, Augusto, and tell me if you've also noticed this, we could have 3 days of darkness when Elenin is blocking the sun. Have you seen this or run across this?
Yes, oh, absolutely. If this comet Elenin is not a comet like they say it is, and if it is a real planetary object, three times the size of Earth, it will block the sunlight for one, two, three, or several days. And one of the things, Nathan, that a lot of people don't understand is that a comet has like two tails. It has a gas tail that always points away from the sun. And then he has a debris tail, which it always follows it. And so that gas tail is not going to really be much of a problem to us when it crosses between us and the sun. I believe the problem is going to be when it crosses right in front of planet Earth, of the orbit, and then planet Earth goes right through its debris tail.
And when does that happen?
That is going to happen in the beginning of November. Let's see, I'm looking at it right now, and it's going to be... actually, it's going to happen. The Elenin is going to cross the Earth's orbit around October 18th. Then Earth is going to cross its path around November 3rd or 4th.
Now, when Elenin crosses the Earth's orbit, will there be any event then? Will there be any gravitational events?
Some people say there will be. Some people say that the comet may shatter it may cause some kinds of gravitation.
What's that date again, Augusto, when we cross the orbit? Did you say the 18th?
When it crosses our orbit, it's going to be, October 16, 17, 18, somewhere around there.
You know, that's an interesting date, Augusto, because I remember when the Deepwater Horizon event occurred, when we had the Gulf spill, some people pointed out that that Hollywood movie Knowing actually had a rig was on fire. Do you remember hearing that? And in that movie, Knowing, the Earth is destroyed by a massive solar flare, and that happens on October the 19th.
Wow.
So we crossed the tail on October 18th, and interesting.
Yeah, that movie has a lot of little signs and little messages in there.
So does Deep Impact.
Yeah, so does Deep Impact. Well, you know, as a matter of fact, Deep Impact, that movie, the discoverer of the object is called Leo.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it looks like we're at the middle of the hour, so ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Don't go away.
We're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. And give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah, it's really that good.
And she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system, and it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. And before the break, we were talking to my guest, Augusto Perez, about the comet Elenin and the potentials for some very, very dramatic changes that are going to come upon the Earth. And as we were talking about the possibility of 3 days of darkness upon the Earth, when Elenin is between the Sun and the Earth on September 26th through the 28th, ladies and gentlemen, that means that we're looking at 3 days of darkness. Think about that. That's incredible information. And that's 3 days of darkness that will end on September the 28th, Rosh Hashanah. Augusto, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that is the other area there that I want to touch upon, because that is going to be on Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish Feast of Trumpets. And this is very interesting what I found out on it, Nathan. Let me just read you something here that I found out. The Feast of Trumpets is the beginning of the Jewish civil new year. It's called the 10 days of repentance that follow it. And Yom Kippur make up the high holidays. And Jewish tradition says that God writes every person's words, deeds, and thoughts in the book of life, which he opens and examines on this day. If the good deeds outnumber the sinful ones for the year, that person's name is inscribed in the book for another year, on Yom Kippur. So during Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days of repentance, people can repent of their sins and do good deeds to increase their chance of being inscribed in the book of life. Of course, we know that we are inscribed in the book of life not by the good deeds, but by the shed blood of Yeshua, the Lamb of God, that he fulfilled. And then he says, prior to Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, the ram's horn, is blown to call the people to repent and remind them that the holy days are arriving. During Rosh Hashanah, the synagogue services, the shofar is blown 100 times. Now, listen to this, Nathan. The last trump, when it's blown, is called the last trump. And also, Rosh Hashanah is referred to, known amongst the Jewish people, as the day that no one knows the day or the hour.
That's interesting.
Yeah. The other interesting thing is on Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur, if you recall, is the day when the high priest would go into the holiest of holies once a year, and he would go into the glory of God, the presence of God, and make an atonement for God's people. Now, that is what happened in Yom Kippur. Now, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's 10 days, called the 10 days of repentance. And so I find that fascinating. I mean, all these little loose ends and things. Rosh Hashanah also is sometimes referred to as the day of judgment.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus said that he has the authority to judge people. And the Apostle Paul referred to him as the judge of the living and the dead. So the Lord has the Lamb's Book of Life. And so all these things play right into this event. Now, there's another detail here, Nathan, that I don't know if I have time to get into it, but I also found out that when I was looking at this with my friend in Texas, that after watching a movie that he let me watch last year called The Star of Bethlehem, I was fascinated by the fact that this man found the day that Yeshua was born, and he plugged it into his software, and he looked at the heavens exactly the way they looked when he was born.
I have seen that movie, Augusto. He used the Starry Nights program, right?
Yeah, that's right, the Starry Night program. That's the same one that my friend has. And when he did that, he found out that the constellation Virgo was in the heavens. He had 12 stars over her head. He was clothed with the sun in the daylight, and he had the moon under her feet. And, when I heard that, I was blown away, because I had never looked at that scripture, Revelation 12, like that. So when these things began to happen, I told this friend of mine, I said, his name is Dan, I said, Dan, we need to look at this thing with your software and see what's going on. So I told him, I said, why don't we look at that September 29, which is Rosh Hashanah, why don't we look at that and see what's going to happen then? That is also the day where Elanin is going to be between the earth and the sun, you know, so let's see what's going on. And so when he began to look it up in the software, we found out that on that same day of Rosh Hashanah, 28, 29, around there, the constellation Virgo, the Virgin, is going to be in the heavens. The 12 stars on her head, it's clothed in the sun in the daytime, has the moon right under her feet, and the planet Venus is right in her womb.
Augusto, I want to say something in case some people are spinning right now and falling off their chair and saying, you guys are talking about astrology. I want to say this just to establish where you're coming from. It says in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 14, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. God invented the constellations, and it's man that has abused them and turned them into darkness, into witchcraft. But the constellations have painted his picture, and the message that it paints is for the entire planet as a whole. It's not individually to give people signs. So we can look in the book of Job and see the constellations are there. God named the stars and the constellations.
That's right. There is a difference between astronomy and astrology.
Right.
Okay? Astronomy is the study of the firmaments, the study of the firmaments and the stars and the galaxies. Astrology is using those things to predict the future, which is forbidden by God. But the constellations, all these constellations, Virgo, the Leo, Satan didn't make that. The Lord created them.
Amen. And you know what you're saying in Revelation 12? I have never thought about that, Augusto. So what you're saying is that's actually telling us where the constellations will be at the end of time?
That's right. Because the key there that I had never put together was that there was a red dragon. When I found this out, Nathan, it just blew me away.
The woman is Virgo, the Virgin?
Virgo, the Virgo. She is in the heavens. John saw this. She was in the heavens.
Oh, it says that. There was a sign in the heavens.
That's right. There was a sign in the heavens. There were 12 stars on her head, the moon under her feet. You know, she was clothed with the sun, which talks about, you know, the sun in the daytime. And then he says, and she was pregnant. She was pregnant. Now, when we looked at this, Venus was in her womb. Now, of course, Venus is known as the morning star. Well, hello. Jesus, Yeshua, is known as the bright and the morning star.
So are we saying that in Revelation 12:1, that's giving us a clue that we can look at any portion in Earth's history, and when we see these constellation stars and planets all painting this picture, this is a sign that it's being fulfilled? Is that what we're saying right here, Augusto?
Yeah, except that this dragon has never been there. It only comes every 3,600 years.
And the dragon is...
He's there now. When my friend and I told him, I said, look, find out where Nemesis is going to be on that day. And when he found out, he just jumped in his seat. And he says, whoa, I can't believe this. He's going to be right in front of the Virgin, Virgo. And that's exactly what John saw. Now, something monumental is going to happen. I don't know what it is.
Okay, now, when do you see this date when you look in the program?
September 28 or 29, right there.
Also with Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, absolutely.
That's incredible, Augusto.
That's what blew me away, that it's just too much of a coincidence. So these things, oh, and the other thing, Nathan, that I found out now, this is really going to blow you away. And
I'm already blown away.
Do you know what I found out, too? That this neutron star, the carbon star, has 7 planets orbiting around it.
Really?
Yeah, well, you get my drift, right?
It says 7 heads.
Mm-hmm.
On Revelation 12, right here.
You got it.
Wow, that sheds an entirely new light on this.
Yeah, because, you know, we've always been taught, you know, that meant this, meant that, you know, this and that. And I always wrestle with all that, you know, I said, yeah, it could be, maybe not, but that didn't fit the whole thing. Why is that thing standing right in front of the Virgin that's about to give birth? And so... The other thing that is interesting, Nathan, I mean, there's a lot of stuff here that I can share and bits and pieces, so I don't know how much time we have. I don't know if you know this man called Klaus Dohna. He's an archaeologist. He's very well known. He's done a lot of archaeological research. Anyway, I was watching one of his videos, and he was talking about this pyramid that they found in Ecuador, in Labana, which is called the Pyramid of Villamar. And it's exactly the same as the pyramid in the back of the dollar bill. He has a shining eye, which when you put that the pyramid under the black light, it shines. And anyways, on the bottom of that pyramid, there is an inlaid in gold, okay? Inlaid in gold is the Orion constellation. And there is a writing that they found out right under this pyramid, an ancient writing that was translated by the former president of Chairman Linguistic Association. And this is what he says. Now, grab to your chair. He says, the son of the creator comes. Now, that is from Orion. Now, guess where Elanine and this object is coming from?
Orion?
That's right. That is right. And coming from also from the constellation Leo. Leo, of course, is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So there's a lot of stuff here that just it just has my head swimming because it's just too much.
Now, Augusto, you told me privately in a phone call that Elanine is Act 1 and I know based on a lot of the information people are digging into, they're saying, okay, and then the last flyby will be at the end of 2011, and then we'll breathe a sigh of relief. But according to what you told me privately, Elanine is just part in the very beginning of the picture because it's going to get very, very dramatic in 2012.
Yeah, I believe it is the harbinger. I believe that Elanine is the harbinger of what is about to come. I believe that Elanine is going to be the last warning that the Lord is going to give the inhabitants of the earth, and after that is going to just go south, and it's not going to end until I personally believe, Brother Nathan, that it's not going to end until the Lord comes.
Now, the next player, though, you're saying Nemesis. This is another body that's out there, and that's also following Elanine. That's what you told me, right?
Yeah, actually, that is not a true statement that is following. It seems like it's following it. But uh-huh. Elanine is actually part of the entourage.
Oh, okay.
Orbitals of this object. So yeah, it looks like it's following him and he will come afterwards, but it's because this object, Elanine, is part of the entourage, the 7 objects that is orbiting around this neutron carbon star.
So you also believe that this Nemesis or the entourage is also going to be following into next year and the years that follow?
I think so, Nathan, because, this thing is just going to continue. I mean, and we see it in the book of Revelation. You see that when the first salvo happens, you know, that first earthquake takes place in Revelation 6. I mean, then you start in the chapter 7, the trumpet, then you start in the vials, I mean, until the Lord splits the heavens and takes back the earth. So he doesn't stop until he comes back and brings back order. So these people, I'm talking about the Illuminists, the rich men of the earth, they're talking about bringing order out of chaos. But really, the one that is going to bring order out of chaos is the Lord. They're not going to bring no order. It's going to take the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, to bring back order to this old world.
Now, Augusto, you have also told me that it could be that the way that these things in Revelation are going to come about, these earth changes, these major, major events, God created these heavenly bodies, these planets, these dark stars, whatever they are, he created them for such a time as when Revelation finally appears. So he has them approaching now to fulfill Revelation. Is that really what you believe?
Absolutely. Now, I'm glad you brought that up because I do have a vision I want to share. It's called the vision of the three stars that the Lord gave me back in March of 04. And in this vision, Brother Nathan, I saw three stars sitting in the heavens. They began to write. It's my website. Somebody wants to read it, all is there. They began to write in a language I have never seen. And as I kept watching it, I began to understand it. It looked like Hebrew, but I'm not sure. It could have been another ancient language. And I began to read it and understand what was being written. Then I began to see what they were writing. And then I began to be in it, in the midst of it. And what they were writing in the heavens, Nathan, was horrible things. The cataclysms that were coming upon the world, they're terrible. I saw a terrible world war, a lot of bloodshed, destruction. I saw the persecution that came on the Christians, on the whole world. I saw the mark of the beast being forced on people, all kinds of horrors. But the thing that impacted me the most was the great suffering of humanity. I felt their pain. I felt their suffering and what they had to go through. And then when I woke up from that experience that night, I was sobbing. I was in travail. I was shaking with perspiration. And to this day, I am affected by what I experienced that night. I did not speak about this for a long time. It was like 2 or 3 years it took me to be able to share it with anybody. And something's going to happen this fall, Nathan. There are going to be 3 comets in the same area around September.
Honda is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Levi and Elanine. And so that tells me, because the Lord gave me that sign, that tells me that when that happens, and people can say whatever they want, call me a false prophet, call me whatever, stole me, I don't care. But that's what God gave me. He showed it to me. He showed this to me. And after that, he showed me again another 3 stars. He showed it to me twice. And I know that this is the sign right here. Now, when the three comets appear in the heavens, that is going to be the beginning. That is not the main event. It's going to be the beginning of woes for people on planet Earth.
Now, Augusto, as you mentioned coming this fall, another thing that I cannot get past is we have been hearing hints from a lot of different sources that the powers that be are expecting. I mean, they're already telling us that they're expecting the economy to crash this coming fall. And the Euro land's going to be in deep, dark depression. They're saying the dollar is in trouble this fall. I'm hearing this from a lot of different sources. Do they know about this comet that's going to come and it's going to create the financial havoc and it's just going to be the catalyst for the things that we've been preparing for?
Yeah, I believe that they know that this is going to happen, and they're going to wait for it to happen. They're not going to force it. They're going to wait for it to happen, and it's going to be the trigger. It's going to be the trigger, the first domino that's going to begin to collapse. The economy is going to go. The economy will collapse. Then the martial law will be implemented. They will be able then to, ride this thing through in their secret bunkers underground. And then they hope that when this thing is, it gets stabilized, they can come back out and begin their new world order. The problem is that it's not going to be stabilized. The book of Revelation tells us that right in the midst of the kingdom of the beast, this thing is going to continue.
Augusto, let's visit just real briefly. If the Bible says a great earthquake occurred, and then we look at the modern creations of technology and architecture that exists in America and all over the world, there's going to be a lot of buildings toppling over. We could see the grid go down. We could see nuclear reactors go Fukushima all over the planet. It's going to be chaos.
Absolutely. Well, in this nation alone, especially on the East Coast, you got most of the the nuclear reactors on the eastern coast. So when that New Madrid goes, that earthquake, the big one, happens, all those nuclear reactors are going to start leaking just like the Japan one. And, you know, it's just going to kill off most of the population slowly through the air, through the water they drink, through the food, you know. And then what that doesn't kill, the people that don't get killed by that, probably then they're going to get killed afterwards, you know, by the wars and the pestilences. I mean, the Bible says, Brother Nathan, that two-thirds of the population of the earth is going to perish. So that's a lot of people.
That's heavy duty, Augusto. Some people are probably trembling right now as they hear this, but Augusto, this is truth. There's going to be a body count during the judgment and the...
See, the thing is that when this thing happens, the world will need a strong hand. The world will need some order. And they will manage to bring some order, you know, through the implementation of the New World Order. And they will need to control the resources, of course. There will be not enough food, water, medicines. And so they will use a ration system, but not like the old-fashioned cart ration system, like the one I had in Cuba, or the ones they had here maybe during the Great Depression. But this will be a very sophisticated system, the Mark of the Beast. And this is going to be implemented right after the technology is in place. So it's just a matter of the whole thing being triggered.
Worldwide martial law, police state, and tyranny.
Yeah. Think about it, Nathan. It has to be. That's the only way the world can survive this thing. Some sense of order has to be brought back. So this is why they say order out of chaos. But God's people need not be terrified or afraid, because God gave me a promise. He gave me scripture that to let me know, because I needed to hear it, that he was going to protect his people. He was going to protect his saints. And, you know, the ones that were not his are going to be in utter darkness, terrified. But those that are his need not be terrified. And that is why yourself, because I've heard you, and you're always crying out to the people to get right with the Lord. I have always been crying out, get right with Jesus, repent, turn away from sin, turn away from those things that are dragging you down. Be ready for his coming, because he will take care of his people. And, you know, if we have to perish, if we have to die for his sake, you know, we will. But he will take care of his people, and there is peace in that, and there is a strength in that. And the only one that can keep his people, that can, in these things that are coming upon the earth, Nathan, is God Almighty, the Lord. That's it. This is the day of the Lord. I had done a research on the day of the Lord, Nathan, and it speaks in the Bible about it. It's incredible what it says. It says it's the great and terrible day of the Lord. It is great for his people, but it's terrible for the others. And so this is the day of the Lord. This is it. This is it right here. We are about to be ushered into it. And God's people have no clue, no idea. They think that this is just going to be one little incident, and we're going to get right back to normal again. And it's not going to be like that.
The arm of the flesh has nothing in this formula, does it?
No, the arm of the flesh will not. As a matter of fact, if we have just a couple more minutes, I want to share an experience I had that the Lord spoke to me about that, which is really, it sheds a lot of light on that. And it's really incredible. The Lord gave me, I was, in the middle of the night, I was sitting across this man on a big, large desk, and there was this, like a scripture Bible holder right in front of us, between us. I thought it was kind of odd that that thing was standing right between us. And we were talking about different things, but all of a sudden, the scripture Bible holder just drops, and I could see the bottom of it. And I read, you know, what the bottom said. There was two scriptures there, but I couldn't remember. Then we went on talking, you know, and I noticed that the man, you know, looked at me kind of weird. I realized now he was a messenger from the Lord. And then the scripture Bible holder, it falls again on the side, revealing the bottom of it, and again I saw the scripture. Well, I didn't remember. Then it happened the third time. Now the third time, when it happened, I did see the scripture, and I remembered it. And the scriptures were 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9. And the second one was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And this is what the scripture says, Nathan. It says, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. And then he says, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, and out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give a strength unto his king, and set up on high the horn of his anointed. Okay, so I looked up the original root of those words, and that word he will keep, of course, we know it means to guard, to protect. to preserve, to save, and to watch over. And the feet, we know, refers to the elect, to his saints. Okay? Now, he says, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. Now, watch this. The wicked there, I found out in the original, it means the dumb. They shall be dumb. They shall be astonished. They shall perish. They shall cease to exist. They shall be cut down. They shall be in ignorance, misery, and death, wickedness, and destruction. And then he says, for by strength, I looked up the word strength, and it means by fleshly power, by force, by worldly substance, okay, shall no man prevail. So he was telling me, by his own might, no man is going to be able to make it on his own strength, wealth, money, and power. And then he said, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. That word broken to pieces, Nathan, in the original text means by violence, by confusion, by fear, by amazement. They're going to be beat down, discouraged, dismayed, scared, terrified. Well, that's what Jesus said. Man's heart's failing them. Listen, he said, out of heaven, in the original text, is out of the celestial bodies. When I saw that, it blew me away. Out of those celestial bodies shall he thunder. That means crash, roar. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength. That word strength there is security, boldness, might. He shall give strength unto his king and exalt. There, the word exalt is lift up, mount up, set up on high the horn of his anointed. That horn of his anointed there in the original is a consecrated person, a king, a priest, or a saint. Isn't that something? Now, this other one in 1 Corinthians 6:14, you know what it says? I was just blown away. It says, and the Lord has raised up, okay? And that word raised up is rouse up from sleep, from disease and death. Awaken, rear up, rise up, stand up. The Lord will raise up, resuscitate from the dead, release from affliction. That word, raise up, is exagero, to resuscitate from death. Okay, so these two scriptures, when I looked them up in the original context of what the word said in the root, it was incredible. He is going to protect his people, Nathan, and he is going to raise them up, strengthen them, and he's going to take care of them through this mess. And at the right time, he's going to just remove them altogether from here.
Amen. So the key, Augusto, is for us to become allied with Jesus through repentance.
Oh, absolutely. We have to come into alignment. We have to stop playing the games. We have to stop harboring those sins in our lives, resentment, unforgiveness, all those things, jealousies, destroying each other. We have to stop all that. And, you know, we have to begin to walk in peace, in love, and in power, and just keep our eyes on Jesus, you know, and keep that relationship just strong with him. The only one that will take us through this whole thing.
Amen. Well, Augusto, it looks like we're out of time, but can you share your website again?
It's theappearance.com.
Okay, Augusto, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me, Nathan.
All right, God bless. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That was Augusto Perez sharing some very insightful and heavy-duty information. We are in the season of God's judgment, of great travail. The birth pangs are happening now. The earth is quaking and shaking. So, my friends, if Elnathan is one of the pivotal parts of this narrative, it's going to start to show up and reveal itself just in the next few weeks and months. I would hope that to the person listening that may be standing on the fence or in the valley of decision, you haven't repented yet, you're just watching, you're holding back. My friend, today is the day of salvation. The decision for these things is now. My friends, don't wait. God is waiting. He is able to forgive, and he is able to take you into his arms. The past will be the past. God's loving kindness is waiting to wash you. My friends, I love you, and I appreciate all of you that listen. Please share this message with everyone that you know. You're free to download it, to burn it, to put it on other websites. Folks, let's get the word out. Also, I want to say this real quick. If you do appreciate this ministry and the work that we're doing, we can only survive because of listeners like you. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. My friends, stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.